Man, I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day, straight up. Pip, if you want me, you can find me in the A.
Hey.
I'm on it. I'm on it. What's going on? What's going on, people, man? You are tuning in to the Six Man Combo. Let's get it. I'm doing it well. Hey man, what's going on, man? This is the Six Man Combo on our newest time, which is the late afternoon. Well, what do you call this?
The rush hour afternoon.
And like you said, man, I'm your host. I'm the boy Six Man, aka K Styles. Even though I said it backwards, it's all good. And to my stage left, as you already know it, it is Mad Mike Sports, aka Senator Palpatine.
Rise.
All right. For the Judgment Day, which is the Unholy Alliance. So, like you said, JB said, y'all early. Oh, yeah. Like you said, we just experiment with the times here, man. Like you said, think I got some positive feedback from last time when we went on a little bit more in the afternoon than night. But let's go ahead and get right into it. We don't really have enough people in here to do the roll call. So, Mike, let's go ahead and get into the topics at hand.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, Mike, how are you doing this afternoon, by the way, my brother?
I'm doing well, man. Want to kind of give a shout out. I guess shout out probably the wrong thing, but just a heartfelt condolences to the family of Eddie Carswell, big OG, a big friend, Chauncey, and he's been on the show a couple of times. And, you know, a member of the Falcon community, he passed away in a truck accident, a trucking accident. So just send out a heartfelt condolences, man. If y'all follow Truth on social media, man, be sure to send him some love, man, because he needs it right now, y'all.
Exactly. One of his player partners and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely give him your RPs and prayers, man. Like you said, it's unfortunate to kind of lose somebody you're close to, especially when it come out of nowhere, out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can show him some love, he'll definitely appreciate that, and so will we as well. Yeah, JB, yeah, we early. Jonta, Rozier, what's happening? All right, Mike, let's get right into it, man. I got two conversations that I want to go ahead and bless the people up here this afternoon with. And it's kind of going to be a take on the video that you put out earlier about the expectations of the Atlanta Falcons in 2024. And topic number two is the legacy of Allen Iverson. So,
Pretty good here.
Right. So since we don't have enough people in here to vote on which one we're going to kick it off with, we're going to go ahead and go by default, man. Let's go ahead and do it like this. Now, when we're speaking on the expectation of the Atlanta Falcons. What are you, well, like I said, I'm not talking about record wise, but I'm talking about as far as the team aspect, the team play. Like, what is your expectations for the Atlanta Falcons in 2024?
If you haven't seen the video, you probably not everybody's seen it yet, but if you have already, I simply focus on the offense and I will do the defense side of the ball. So I'll give one key thing. I don't want to spoil the whole video, but one thing that I'm focused on is red zone efficiency. Jew kind of went over it in the video itself, because that's why I kind of got the idea from Jew. And the red zone efficiency, and I talked about Arthur Smith and what's the main reason why the Falcons didn't perform well in the red zone. And one of the things that I talked about was simply we didn't run the ball as much as we should have. Like, for whatever reason, he just became, you know, he just act like he was like he was playing college basketball or something, shooting threes from half court and shit. Like, he was just throwing shit on the wall in the red zone. Like, he never stuck to anything, which was completely, it took me completely off guard, because when he was in Tennessee, they were known for two things: getting the ball to their tight ends and running the ball when they get down there. For whatever reason, you get Tyler Allgeier, you get Bijan Robinson, you want to throw fake screens and, you know, fades in the half. Like, you're not even throwing fades, excuse me. Like, you were running rollouts, and the rollouts were to the tight end, and the tight end kicked the ball off of in the rounds and shit. Like, he was just doing a whole bunch of stuff in the red zone that didn't make a lot of sense. So for me, red zone efficiency, man, I want to see our backs get the ball. I want to see Tyler Allgeier. I want to see Bijan Robinson. I think I said it right that time, so excuse me, Mama Robinson, if I got your baby name wrong. But Bijan Robinson, I want to see those guys eat in the red zone. So that's what I'm focused. I love Young Weku, but I don't want to see him too many times this season. That's the extra kick.
That's the point. So pretty much what you're saying is the expectation is the one of the major things you're going to be looking at is red zone efficiency and how they're going to be implementing their offensive game plan in said red zone, and are they going to stick to it?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, just stick to it. Because that's how I say about Kyle Shanahan. One thing I like about Kyle Shanahan is offense. You know those guys, when they get in the red zone, you're going to get a handful of running back, a handful of offensive linemen. Like, that's what they're going to do. And that's kind of me looking back at this Falcons offense. It's like, for whatever reason, we wanted to pass the ball. And it's like, you wondering why guys like Desmond Ridder and those guys were struggling. It's because, like, you're not doing what you said you was going to do. You said you was going to run the damn ball. And we throwing the ball to tight end more than we throwing to anybody.
Yeah. And I think that's that, and I kind of will agree, is that may have been one of the catalysts for the underachievement, as far as that aspect is, you didn't stick with what you were good at. You tried to be something that you wasn't. But I want to kind of look at it from a standpoint where I'm going to go more so, I'm going to talk about defensively wise, and I'm going solely based on this draft alone with the guys that they're getting. From what I'm seeing is I'm expecting this defense to get a lot of turnovers this year. Like you said, and shout out to Brian Baldinger. I just saw a compilation of his thoughts on Braylon Trice. And do you think with the combinations of, you know, Rook, I keep saying Rookie, but it's Rook. And like I said, if you didn't catch the Heavy Hitter show last night on the Heavy Hitters Live podcast, we definitely got an in-depth breakdown of Rookie. A rule, but one of my biggest expectations is a lot more turnovers, simple for the fact that they made their main focus on getting after the quarterback and putting a lot of pressure into guys that can force quarterbacks into bad throws, which would give opportunities to our defense to get those turnovers. And I know, especially with this year kind of being like the, what would you say, the final tryout year for one said AJ Terrell. So they're going to be putting a lot of the pieces around that can help him get those interceptions if he can hold on to them motherfuckers. But
that's the thing, holding on to So like my thing is too, like I said before, it's like defensively, I think they'll be fine, especially secondary. You got a couple guys out there that's a pretty good ball hawks. And they're always around the ball. And Phillips, like he's a guy that I'm looking at too, that's gonna be kind of interesting watching him. That he loves to kind of like get physical and get into the defender's bodies and whatnot, and he plays with pretty good you know, just discipline. And I think that's the thing that I'm kind of focused more so on is our DB just getting more opportunities. And I think the defensive line is definitely gonna play into that.
Let's go ahead and get a couple comments in here, man. JB here said, my expectation is our offensive defense being very consistent, more on offense too, because our defense was good last year. What do you think about that, Mike?
My offensive defense is very consistent. Expectation is our offense and defense being very consistent more than offense. No, it's not true with the offense. Like the defense, the thing with the defense is they were very inconsistent after Grady Jarrett got hurt. Before Grady Jarrett, they were definitely one of the best. They were one of the better defenses in the league. They were top 10 defense pre-Grady Jarrett's injury. Soon as he got hurt, all of the play on the defensive side of the ball, for the most part, got very inconsistent. So it's like, honestly, I think the offense is fine. Even if you look at the offensive numbers, the thing with the offense, they just didn't score touchdowns. Like they did well for a while. And then the defensive side of the ball, they started getting a lot of injuries. David Onyemata went down, Kentavious Street. I mean, we were down to like our practice squad defensive tackles with Lakeel London. And he played pretty well. But like for me, man, I don't agree with the fact that the offense is a problem. I think the defense is more so a problem than anything. We have to find a way to get a consistent pass rush. And that's why it's like the DBs, they need to get interceptions, because there's no guarantee that our defensive line is going to be consistent up front. So if the DBs find a way to get turnovers and interceptions, what K-Styles just said, the team's going to be fine. Get the ball back to a Kirk Cousins, get the ball back to a M MPJ. I'm not going to say the other name, but if you get the ball back to them, they'll be fine. But we got to get used to the fact it's like the offense, fine. Other than not scoring and having a young quarterback, I thought we were fine. A lot of things were with the offense side of ball. I think they're blown out of proportion, man. We just couldn't get the ball back. And it was several games, like even like the Chicago game. They started out pretty well, and then we couldn't get the ball back. We let games like the Minnesota Vikings game, the Arizona Cardinals game, the Chicago Bears game. Like, we were in it for a while, but we just could not score a touchdown. Falcons did a good job, but we just couldn't score a touchdown. Like, we were 30th scoring. We were 30th in the league in scoring touchdowns. 30th.
Right. And like you said, man, hey, definitely shout out to one of my favorite ladies, Sonya, in the building. So y'all make sure y'all show her some love. JD said his name is going to be Tech Nine. No, his name is Junebug. Goddamn, Junebug. But as far as the defense, okay, so we've kind of covered kind of like the defensive side. One more thing on that is, like you said, if you look at the draft, they specifically drafted the way they did this year because of that, you know, Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata injury. I don't know why I said energy. Well, it's going to be the same, damn near same energy. But yeah, like you said, Rue Kane, Brandon Dorlis, Zion Luge, Braylon Tri. So they trying to cover all their bases on that defensive line, and I'm here for all of it. But since we kind of talked about the defense, let's go with the offense. You've kind of touched on the offense. Is there anything outside of red zone efficiency offensively? What is your expectation on that outside of the red zone efficiency?
So I'm looking at I'm looking at the numbers, so I want to be correct when I see it. But like I said, the rushing game was fine. Like, if we would have just scored touchdowns rather than, you know, field goals, like, we're fine offensively. And then what can happen is you can get the other team to focus on getting after the quarterback. But a lot of times when you allow other team to be balanced, that's when trouble for us kicked in. So offensively, I keep saying it, but like, if you just focus on getting touchdowns in that red zone, and this probably gonna shock a lot of people for me to even say that, but if you got a young quarterback like Penix, Junebug, aka the young rookie, move him around in the pocket and let him, you know, get a few first downs for you. Because I think in a lot of situations last year, the Falcons' offense was predictable. You know exactly who's going to get the ball at the certain moment, especially when he got in short situations. Did I just say short shit? I think I just said short shit. But short.
So some of it was short shit situation. So you weren't too far behind on that.
Yeah, that was right on. But yeah, they was in short situations with Tyler Allgeier. But being Tyler Allgeier just such a load, he got us out of a lot of situations. I'll say that. But it got way too predictable in short yardage situations. You know exactly who's going to get the ball. It's going to be Tyler Allgeier. It's going to be Number 81, good God almighty, Jones. The tight end, good God.
Jonnu Smith.
So, like, you knew it was going to be Jonnu. For whatever reason, it was going to be Jonnu, and it's going to be Tyler Allgeier. And that's what the thing with the offense I'm focused on. It's like a little bit less predictable, but more predictable when it comes down to the red zone.
Yeah. And kind of piggybacking on, like you said, the earlier videos from you and Drew, as far as the offensive side is, I'm kind of expecting this offense to be a little bit more up-tempo. And I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be a bunch of no huddle and shit like that. Nah, but what I'm talking about up-tempo is the passing game getting quicker.
Yeah,
which is kind of like the Zach Rock, which is that Sean McVay type offense. Because you have to remember, it's a quick style offense. Because what do you say? You want a guy that can process it quick and get it out quick. And I think that right there can suit the guys that we have on this team a little bit better. Just for example, like last year, you can kind of count numerous times where we've seen a lot of long development plays. And there were long development plays in situations in the game where they weren't necessary. And like you said, that's where it led to a lot of the mistakes that we saw from Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke, and as crazy as I'm saying, Logan Woodside. Yes, Logan Woodside played last year too, so yeah. But
listen to these rushes per rush. So Bijan Robinson had, obviously, 976 yards, but the average was 4.5. Tyler Allgeier was 3.6. Desmond Ridder 3.6, and then you have Cordarrelle Patterson that's 3.6. That right there tell you that the running game is completely predictable. A quarterback should never be anything under 5 yards per rush. The quarterback, especially for the quarterback position, especially when you got guys that can move around like that, like that shouldn't happen. So yeah, we got to be a little bit more. And I think K-Style, too, using a lot of that pre-snap, post-snap motion is going to help a hell of a lot, too. So, yeah, man, the offense just has to be – I just thought the offense was just too stationary. It was just like you knew everybody was going to be in every spot. There was no it wasn't any imagination to it. It was just like, yep, you're going to be right here and you stay right here.
Yep. And JD is here saying that's why having Kirk is going to help. He'll get the guys in the right position so the plays aren't developing slow. And that's the advantage of having a veteran guy at that position who's actually, you know, thrown for a lot of yards, because a lot of people keep forgetting before Kirk Cousins had that injury. I think he was actually on pace to throw for about 5,300 yards last year before he got hurt. Yeah, 5,300 yards and like 48 touchdowns before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
John St. Clair here said, could it be because the players were overly
It was just the fact that the plays were just too predictable. When you have a young quarterback, like, they're not allowed to make the necessary adjustments in the offense. You don't give them too much responsibility as a quarterback. So they have to call, they have to run the play that's called. And often with a veteran quarterback, you go in with the call, but you might not go in with the same exact play. So you go in, but having a veteran quarterback and a guy that can improvise, that was the good thing about a guy like Michael Vick, is that even if you came in with a simple play, him being the improviser, he can get you out of a certain situation. And that's why, like, the quarterback position is one of the most important positions on the team, is because if you got a good one, he can get you out of a look. He can get you out of a situation. That's always the great thing about quarterbacks. And that's not always about his athleticism, it's just his intelligence.
Right. John Tahir said the offense looked way better with Marcus, and the same goes for Smith's play call. Yeah, that's because he stuck with what he knew best.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest things right there. It's not necessarily about being an offensive guru. It's not about having the most explosive looking plays. It's about the philosophy of what you're good at, being able to build on it, and standing on your square with it. Because once you start trying to dabble outside of something that you're not familiar with, that's where a lot of confusion comes into. Say all Smith knew was Bijan and Jonnu Smith.
It was too much experimenting. He's experimented on it. And that's something that Tyrus was saying early in the season. He gave us the dime. He gave us the heads up of what was going on with the offense. And essentially what we were saying is that he didn't know what he wanted to do. He kind of tried to – when you saw that Dave Ragone went up into the booth, we knew that he had no clue what was going on. So what he was trying to do is kind of throw him under the bus, so to speak, to go back to what he was comfortable with. By that time, both of your quarterbacks just have no confidence in themselves. So the offense just went downhill from there. But they had no plan. He didn't have a plan, and that's why I always say the best quarterback, the best offensive coordinators, those guys go in with a plan to, and this is why Kyle Shanahan always falls apart, because he doesn't have an offense where he passes the ball first. Everything that he does is a counter off of the run. That's why he fails every time in pass situations. The best coaches and offensive coordinators, they can run to set up the pass as well as pass to set up the run. Those are the best offensive coordinator. And that's why Kyle Shanahan, his offense always fall down. If you look at Andy Reid and the Chiefs offense, you see they always have a plan. If they can't run the ball, they're going to pass it. If they can't pass it, they're going to pound that shit, and they're going to move Mahomes around so he can give it more space and create space and stuff there, use his leg. So the offense can get going. They always have a counter for everything. And that's what the best offensive coordinators can do, is use both aspects of the game to open up the game, open up the offense. I hope I'm not confusing people with this. I know that's probably confusing some people, but I hope it's not confusing. Just let us know if you're confused by that.
Well, like you said, man, confusion doesn't mean stupid. Confusion just means you have to interpret it. You have to catch the key words. That's it.
See, he's a low key word.
Yeah. And Southside said, "Damn, I forgot y'all come on this early. You thought it was a game." You thought it was a game. Like you said, man, that this is going to be the new time. It's going to be between 4:30 and 4:45. So, so like you said, when Thursday comes around, you better make sure you get your calendar set. Better hit that notification. But so you'll know that, that's the key thing.
Well, let me explain on just a little bit, just simplify that, because I know people are probably confused. Passing, what we mean by using the pass to set up the run, when teams are loaded in the box, when you got a nine-man, eight-man front, this is what we mean by pass to set up the run, because they're loading up in the box to stop the Atlanta Falcons' running game, all right? We all knew that the Falcons was a run-heavy team. So what teams did, they just brought everybody up to the line. So if you're offensive coordinator, what you do, K-Style, in that situation? They got 8-9 in the box. What do you do?
What you either do is you gonna check the pass. You gonna try to find the quickest pass you can find. Mm-hmm. If you're 8 in the box, that means there's 1-on-1 on the outside.
Mm-hmm. So what was happening with Arthur, he running the damn ball when they got 8-9 in the box instead of using the pass, those one-on-one situations, to set up the run to get them to back up. So that's what we mean by passing the ball to set up the run, and vice versa. If you got on the defense, they got a bunch of DBs on the in the game. They got like, let's just say they got 8 DBs. They got like, they got 4 up front. You got 7
DBs. 7 DBs.
Okay. So naturally, you're going to say, all right, physically, we outmatched them. So what are you going to do? You're going to run the damn ball. You're going to run the damn ball to set up the pass. Because they're obviously using, they're trying to get you to pass the ball in that situation. They're trying to get you to pass the ball, or they're trying to get you to run the ball. So with an offensive coordinator with 7 DBs, he's going to say, all right, y'all got 7 DBs. I'm a running ball because I believe in my offensive line. So they're going to run the ball in order to loosen up their defense to get more big guys in the game rather than use all them DBs. So that's what Arthur Smith didn't do. When they was putting the 8 and 9 in the box, he kept trying to run the ball instead of using the pass, what K-Style doing, using the wide receivers, the Kyle Pitts, the Bijan Robinson, the Drake London. Instead of using them to open up the game, he kept getting the damn ball. So that's why Tyler Allgeier had a record low in rushing average with 3.6 or 7, I believe it was, because he wasn't using the pass to open up the run.
Or hell, what about this? Using Kyle Pitts and Drake London on go routes and using Van Jefferson on slants.
On slants.
How about that? So that's how it be, man. Well, I see folks are starting to kind of come and kick in here. Let's get a few comments. Then we're gonna go right to the next topic. Let's see. It says Smith lost me when he had John Fitzpatrick run a go route on 3rd and 12. Yeah. Falcon 4L, appreciate you coming in, man. Trauma Logs. We got Big Ant. We got the franchise in here. Tev Sports and Gaming. John St. Clair. Mucho Grundy, man. What's going on? So, hey, we about to get into this last topic. We got about 20 more minutes. Mikey over at Georgia Sports Nation is supposed to be coming on at 5:30, so we're going to pass it on to him, but we're going to get to the final topic for tonight. If you missed the Falcons conversation, it's no problem. Like you said, you just go ahead and replay it when it's done and done so.
And we will be on Mad Mike Sports Spotify, all right? All your Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it will be up before 7 o'clock.
Right. So let's go ahead and get to the final topic of tonight's show. Like I said, got 20 people in here. Like I said, y'all make sure y'all hit that like button as y'all come in here.
get blocked. Y'all about to get y'all. Don't start that shit. Please don't do that.
We ain't been do that. This ain't the show for that. We ain't talking about BBL Drizzy. We ain't doing that. Already had to get on somebody for trying to put Kyle Pitts into that shit. But we ain't gonna talk about that. Let's go ahead and get to the final conversation for the night. We got about a few minutes, 25 here. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna set this up for you, Mike. And let me give you the reason why we're talking about the legacy of Allen Iverson. Now, as I was scourging through the YouTube spaces, Mike, I want to know, are you familiar with the channel called The Player's Choice?
I may have.
Okay. So.
Hey, I have.
Okay. So what it is, it's a sports podcast channel. Like I said, they be having discussions on, you know, basketball, football stuff. And one of the guys said that Allen Iverson was one of the most overrated players in NBA history. Now, I want to talk about Allen Iverson because, as you know, Mike, Allen Iverson is one of my all-time favorite players. And when I'm talking about all-time, I'm talking about players that I've actually watched, like, majority of their career, not really just history-wise, so I'm just speaking on myself. So I wanted to ask your thought, man. What was your thought about Allen Iverson and his impact on the NBA and his career?
To be honest, it took me time to kind of get used to him. I didn't really know what to make of him because my original thought was this. Watching him in Philly, I didn't get a respect for his game until they start playing other teams and whatnot. I didn't think he was that good of a scorer early on because I thought, like, by default, it's like, you the only motherfucker that can score points on that team, so of course you're gonna average 30. Like, they have some sorry motherfuckers on that team. Eric Snow. That motherfucker is 3 points in the second fucking life.
Aaron McKee.
Like, them sorry bitches. Like, well, of course you having 30 with them sorry motherfuckers on. You had big ass, the big dude.
Oh, you break it up, right? Derek Coleman?
No, it wasn't Coleman.
Oh, you talking about Theo Ratliff?
Like, they had a bunch of guys that were just like, all right, yeah. Of course you having 30, but as time went on, man, it's like, you know, I was like, all right, this dude's scoring against some legitimate defensive players. Like, he was going at Kobe, he was going at Grant, like, he was going at a bunch of guys that really played defense. So I got appreciation for his game over time. But, like, no, I wasn't a fan of Allen Iverson, but I really didn't buy into him until, you know, a couple of years after.
Jay here said, as a Cavs fan, I can't say Eric Snow was trash for real.
Bruh, trash.
Boo-boo. Boo-boo. But it was also another interview I saw. It was with Kenyon Martin, and he was talking about Allen Iverson and stuff as well. And like I said, for me personally, I would say, in my personal, when they say that he is the best pound, one of the best, greatest pound for pound basketball players of all time, I can agree to it just for the simple fact of. the style of play, like his style of play was actually kind of the prelude of what today, what majority of the guards are today, is the slashers and the little man, big man complex. When you're looking at it, because hell, you just said it right there. He had no choice. He had no choice but to have to be that dominant scorer, because hell, the second best scorer on that 2001-76ers team was Dikembe Mutombo, and he averaged 10 points a game. They only had three players that averaged double figures. And the other two averaged barely 10 points a game.
Yeah. So you see how I can get that.
But as far as Allen Iverson, like I said, his style also helped popularize AN1. For those that are too young to remember, the AN1 mixtapes, the basketball mixtapes. Now, as we already know, AN1 was already popular in the Northeast, New York, and all that up there. They was already popular like that. But as far as like Allen Iverson, and you know, with him kind of having that hip hop edge to him, where a lot of the NBA really didn't like him because of that, you know, the baggy clothes, the tattoos, the braids. But like you said, that style of flash is what also helped popularize AN1 basketball down here in the South, because it was a lot of Allen Iverson friends, Allen Iverson fans down here in the South. Oh Lord!
I mean, he hung around the drug dealer too, so everybody saw him and they tried. All right, he's Allen Iverson from the Sixers. So right. Yeah, that helped him too.
Right, right, right. But
in the hip hop community, big hip hop community.
But let me ask you a question, and I'm going based off of that same podcast that originated this topic. I want to ask everybody here that's watching right now, who do you think was a more effective player, Allen Iverson or James Harden? And I say effective. What do you think about that, Mike?
It's a dumb question for me, because I know where the conversation came from. It's like anybody that say James Harden just need their brain research. This man never won nothing. Like every time he get in a big situation, like he bombs every time. And it's not even close. He bombs every time. Houston, Oklahoma City, 76ers. He's bombed every freaking time in key situations. And we talking about effect. We're talking about effectiveness? Effectiveness. Come on, bro. This dude has been a bum every chance he got. Every chance he got to step up and be a superstar and show that he's a superstar and make a star. He put up 40 points and his team lose by 10. So that ain't effective. That's a bunch of, like, that's stat padding. And let's keep it real. This was in the era where he was shooting 20 free throws a game. So all the motherfucker had to do is really hit five shots, and he got 30 points. So what are we talking about? Effectiveness. That ain't fucking effective. 20 fucking free throws. And y'all think I'm joking. This dude was averaging, when he was averaging in his career, he averaged about 15 to 20 free throws every game. So all he really had to do was hit 5 to 10 shots to average about 30 points a game. AI was doing that without free throws. So it's not even close, man. AI was just... the thing is too, he would go in to the, like, what I like most about everybody, like all the crossovers and all that, like that for me, I like the fact that he was a little man, but that mid-range jumper for him was deadly, bro.
Yeah, cause I'm about to say, cause where a lot of people look at his jump shot was kind of flicked in a way. Based on quote unquote basketball purists, his jump shot was quote unquote. I'm like, bro, I don't give a damn about how flicked the shit looked. Did it go in? But like Mike said, man, this guy was 6 foot. I don't even think he was 6 foot. He was like 5'11", 160 pounds. Going in the paint against guys like Shaq, getting dirty around the rim. Like you said, bro, you can't beat that. You got James Harden up here, who 5 foot, the six foot five, 230 pounds, and all you see him doing is delayed step back threes and flopping at the rim. Like you said, the crossovers is nice, but it's the heart that AI brought to the game is what made a lot of people appreciate him. And for those that may not have known, Allen Iverson was a better football player than he was a basketball player.
Yeah, he and Vic were hell.
Vic did say Allen Iverson was his inspiration on the football field, so it makes sense.
Older than Vic, so yeah, he on there.
Hold on, looking at some of these comments. Let's see. About whatever here said, thank AI for making Kyrie and all these mofos who can handle the basketball.
Like AI, he would help train this generation. Like it really came from guys like David Thompson and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Like that's Chris Jackson for people that know him. So like that's where Kyrie kind of got his game from quote unquote Chris Jackson, Sharif right here.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Rauf. That's what Kyrie actually got his game from. That's what I don't know.
That's what it said. They think Steph, like you said, Steph Curry is great. But mm-hmm. Steph Curry, but my Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
He was the one that was
the predecessor to Chef to the Chef Curry style of game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But AI made it popular. AI really he popularized the NBA in itself. Like he made it wear, you know, sleeves on his headbands and cornrows.
Baggy shorts. Low cut socks. I'm telling you, like you said, he was the trendsetter who helped blend two genres of entertainment into one and made it popular for the hip hop game to blend with the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, we got a few more minutes here, so we're going to go ahead. We got about a few more minutes, so we're going to let y'all go ahead, get a couple questions in on the Q&A part of the show. And a funny story about this, Jay, is they had the story about Kyrie Irving and why he's so good at his layups. He said he had a story where He said that the bat board that he grew up playing on only had one spot on there. Like it was not a full bat board, but it was like one spot or one piece of a bat board, and he had to learn how to spin the ball off that one piece in order to lay that thing up. Anthony White came in and said AI influenced an entire generation, not just basketball wise, but for the culture as well. John St. Clair said, I could thank AI for the baggy shorts alone and got rid of those Maurice Cheeks hot.
I forgot about Cheeks.
Oh, Maurice hot. Boy, talk about the NBA draws they played in.
Well, you see all they thighs, boy.
Listen, when you talk about the definition, they got your thigh meat showing.
LeBron tried to bring that shit back, and boy, he got roasted on social media for that shit. His pants was shorter than the three shit. Like, boy, what are you doing? Thank you.
No, that wasn't no. Let's see. Looking for some questions here, y'all. Looking for some questions. Bucho here said, Harden is Lamar or Josh Allen of basketball. Damn.
I mean, he right. No lies told.
Hey, man.
Put up a bunch of numbers.
Exactly. Did y'all see? Oh yeah, they said Bud Dupree is contemplating on going up to Pittsburgh to go back up to Steel City. You know, about six former Falcons to win up to Pittsburgh, so that'll make number seven right there. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean, that's kind of crazy because they kind of let him go because he got injured. So I guess he
right
going back.
Right. But like you said, we're gonna let y'all get the rest of your afternoon back. Like you said, man, I'll tell y'all again, we're gonna keep reminding you. We, like I said, This is going to be the new time of the six-man convo. These are the new time of the originators. The only time that's not going to change is the heavy hitters. The heavy hitters is going to stay at its regular time of 9:05 p.m. Everything else is going to be on the day. So we appreciate y'all coming in here. Like I said, hey. It's an adjustment, and trust me, it's an adjustment for my damn self, too. I'm usually sleeping around this time, but I got off work late, so I didn't have to go to sleep right away. So I was like, okay, boom, we're going to do this. But Georgia Sports Nation, go over there for your Hawks, Braves talk with Mikey over there. Definitely show him some love when once it gets on. So, is the Ladybirds doing something tonight, Mike? I ain't get in touch with them.
No, they taking off.
They taking off? Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, like you said, man, we just gonna get y'all evening back. So, until next time, people, we ain't here to play.
No.
We here to stay.
Ooh, yeah, dig it. Oh, 24/7 Refing Fanatics on YouTube. We're at 392 now. So all you Refing Fanatics, it will no longer be on Mad Mike Network. It will be on 24/7, 247 Refing Fanatics. All right. That's where a lot of our wrestling stuff is going to be. And yeah, it's moving fast, y'all. It's moving fast. We'll be at 800 real, 800. Well, yeah, we'll be 800 for you, but we'll be at 400. We'll be that channel will be monetized. And I know, so head over to 24/7 Wrestling Fanatics, as well as Georgia Sports Nation with the Atlanta Braves, and Atlanta Hawks with Mikey. Yeah. So yeah, bro, it's moving.
Yeah. So we pretty much we everywhere. So for those that thought you could get rid of us, nope, we like roaches. We everywhere. Nah, damn roaches. We ants.
We ants.
Kill one.
Yeah.
So hey man, so like you said, man. Always embrace who you are. People see you as the bad guy, embrace the inner villain. Because guess what? Every hero needs a villain. Deuces.